That's Tony's retirement party, the WIP afternoon show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz, a summer Friday at Chickies and Pete's.
Yep. Always eventful, Spike.
At least the Phillies scored one run over the last three games. Ike, how you feeling, brother?
Well, brother Spike, I'm certainly happy that it's Friday. Can't say anything much else that I'm happy about, but you know what? We start anew today. We're in the ATL. We're looking to get back on the winning side of things. Summer is here. Jackie Baseball, we need hope. Holla at your boy.
Pretty hard to lose a series in which you only allow five runs.
Pretty hard.
Well, no, not lose a series. Sorry. Get swept in a series,
yes,
where you only allow five runs.
They managed to do it, though.
I tell you what, not a great time for Dombrowski to come out and say that we feel good where the offense is.
No. It was almost like they were sending him a message.
Yeah. Actually, could have been a good thing.
We do want to congratulate Tony Horwath,
yeah,
who is retiring. He is a worker down there at the Navy Yard. And if you hear, I asked Ike and Jack, if I retired, would there be this many people here to celebrate? Probably not. Maybe just the haters.
Sure, it would.
There'd be a lot of people. You've influenced a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of people would come to wish you off well.
Yes. Celebrate. Yes. Maybe celebrate that I won't be there. Well, it is a big show, as it always is. We will talk about the first round of Jack versus Joe, which is happening on Sunday. Elliot Shore Parks joins us at 3. Tornado Shapiro's weekend forecast at 3:30. We will talk to Broads about the Puck It Up! Draft party tonight, which is happening at Chickies in Glassboro. But we do open up talking about the Phillies. Coming off of, they've had a few disheartening series this year. This was one of the more disheartening, I would say. Their loss to the Mets was disheartening. The Pirate sweep was disheartening. This one was pretty bad. But we hit 81 games. The Phillies are at the halfway mark of the season. They have won, 47 games? They're 47-34, half game out of first. And Ike, I'll go to you at first on this. Halfway through the season, do you feel better or worse about the Phillies' chances this year, halfway through the season, than you did to start the season?
I feel better. I'm gonna jump right into this thing. Okay. No waffling today. Let me talk my way through it.
Okay.
I feel better than I did at the beginning of the season.
I'm surprised about that.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. I can't lie as if I came into the season with a ton of optimism
about the team this year.
So I had more skepticism there, and they won me over the way they played through those first 40 games of the season, 40, 50 games of the season. I think it was towards Memorial Day, I think that was. Whenever that Cleveland series was,
yep,
that's when I sort of jumped in with both feet and said, you know what, I'm all in and I'm excited about this team. I'm not going to tell you that hasn't waned at times.
Sure, like today.
It's tough for me to be jolly and excited about the team coming off this three-game series versus the Astros, where we scored one run in three games. It's hard to believe that happened.
We did give it up. We did give it back, like, literally 8 minutes later. Like, we scored the one run.
No doubt about it.
And it was gone.
The moment I was tweeting about it, Houston was scoring to tie the game up. So, no, I'm with you there. But I'll say this. We are staying afloat right now. It's not pretty. We got a chance to go down to Atlanta, where I feel like we have a psychological edge over those guys, right? And sort of at least win the series and get back on track, and then they come on, we can feel good about the team. So I'm hanging in there, man. Listen, if it was easy, everybody would be a fan all the time.
That's the truth.
It's not easy, man.
It's not always easy.
So I'm here through the choppy waters, and I'm good, man. I'm good. As long as Bryce continues to progress and he'll be back eventually. You got Nola coming in August. Like, as long as nothing else happens, right?
Catastrophically.
Yeah. I feel good. Think about this, Mike. At the halfway mark, they're on pace to win 94 games. We'd have told you they were going to win 94 games at the beginning of the season. We'd all be okay with that. I had them at 90. I had them at 90 wins, 91 wins. So 94, I'd be okay with.
215-592-9494, halfway point of the season for the Phillies. Do you feel better or worse than you did right when the season started? Jack, do you feel better or worse?
So I feel better. Obviously, it's a tough time with what had happened this week. But at the same time, we also did see a pitching staff go down there and dominate.
Yeah.
For as negative as the offense is, this pitching staff gives you a chance in every single series. And it does have a chance to elevate the bullpen. Like, I think currently, right now, they are basically just treading water until the trade deadline. If they can stay 10 games above 500, you know, I know they're 13 games above 500 right now. If they can stay 10 games over and then at the deadline make a real move, you know, for a bullpen arm and hopefully a bat. I hope he was kidding. Maybe he said with a little wink when he said that we're happy with where the offense is right now. So I was definitely skeptical heading into the year. And I feel better about the team, partially because I think offensively they've done a lot of good things, like approach-wise. They've reverted back to some of the bad habits this week. But we also saw them take it to a Mets pitching staff over the weekend who was pitching as well as anyone in the league overall on the year.
Yep.
So I think the offense has done more good than bad. I think they have flaws, but I also think the flaws can be fixed. So foundation-wise, I feel good about where the Phillies are, better than I did at the beginning of the year.
215-592-9494. Do you feel better or worse about the Phillies than when the season started? You know, you guys have actually made me rethink this a little bit because I actually do feel good about where they are, but I did feel better than you guys felt at the beginning of the season.
Sure, you had higher hopes.
Yeah, I would say I feel better than I did then, slightly. I mean, there are things that have happened this year that were ifs that have gone the right way. The Lizardo thing has gone the right way. The Ranger Suarez is something that I feel way better about today than I did at the beginning of the season, where I really didn't think he was going to pitch effectively, if at all, this
year
when the back thing happened. So I feel better about Lizardo. I feel better about Ranger Suarez. Chris Sanchez, like, is doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, like, you have to feel good about Sanchez. I feel better about Trey Turner. And I'll be honest with you, I feel better about Rob Thomson than I did at the beginning of the season. Now, I know there's some...
I agree with that.
We'll get into some questions about, you know, some things that were said yesterday. But
it's not,
like,
perfect.
But he has been more active as a manager this year than he has in any of the years prior. I think he feels a sense of urgency to try to get it right and not just let them play through everything. And I would say the final thing that I feel better about, I feel better that they are aware and did attack, at least some of them tried to attack what their deficiencies were last year. Trey Turner, I feel great about. Like, I really do feel great about the approach that he has had to offense this year. So I do feel better. I am not optimistic about the trade deadline. I would tell you that.
Sure.
Like, I want them to take a big swing at the trade deadline, and I will believe it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
So Dombrowski is wait and see. But I would say I feel better now than I did when the season started.
I think the one wrench in all of this is the Bryce Harper situation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big one.
Yeah.
If you get him back and he looks closer to the really good version of Bryce, I think all of a sudden it eases a lot of fears.
Sure.
But the Bryce thing is a huge swing. If he looks like he did before he got hurt, or before or while he was dealing with it, it could affect something.
Yeah.
Now listen, when he shaved his head, he looked good for a few weeks there.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
He did. Look,
well, even Bryce of this year is better than having Buddy Kennedy in the lineup.
Oh, hell yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they're still better.
Yes.
We do have a next question today. As the New York Times put together a list of the 100 best movies from the year 2000 to 2025. So the 100 best movies of the last 25 years.
Man.
Actually, number one was Parasite, a movie that I enjoyed quite a bit that I'm sure you guys didn't see.
Parasite?
Yeah. It's a good flick.
No.
It's a good flick.
Come on.
But for next question today, what is your favorite movie since the year 2000? Jack, what do you got?
Wedding Crashers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wedding Crashers
was like the first...
Classic.
I was like, you know, just getting into high school area, you know, where it was kind of a big boy movie. Like, Dumb and Dumber was the first PG-13 movie I watched.
Okay.
And it was like, that was funny.
Yeah.
But Wedding Crashers was like a real, like, this is a hilarious, this different kind of a humor than I was used to.
Yeah, man, there's so many movies.
There are a lot of good movies.
2000s,
because I went through my top 10. I ended up with a top 10 when I thought about this. Yeah.
Not top 11.
I'm glad you gave
not
yourself a chance to think about it.
Well,
go through a top 10.
Look, bro, that's why I thought
I'm
of
over here on the fly, like, 2000s. So I got to go with anything with Denzel in it in the 2000s. Greatest actor of all time. I'm going to go with Training Day.
Is Training Day is 2000?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Training Day 2000, yes.
My favorite movie since 2000 is Arrival. With Amy
Arrival?
Adams and Jeremy Renner. It's a great flick.
The worst answers.
No, what are you talking about?
With all these like niche movies that you
Wait a minute. Hold on. Arrival is not a niche movie.
Bro,
huge success.
No one's talking about Arrival on the best movies in the
2000s. It was 29 on the list.
That's
I don't know if Wedding Crashers was on
there. Where's Training Day out on the list?
I don't know. I will look. But Arrival is not some tiny little indie film. It has giant Hollywood stars in it. It's an exceptional movie. I'm sorry that you have to think during it. There's not a lot of farts in it, Jack.
Right.
I'm a fartsman. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. Our audience... way more Wedding Crasher speed
than
Arrival.
God bless him.
I'm not giving our audience credit.
No, I'm not. I'm giving.
Well, I don't know what Arrival is. I don't even know what
it
that
is. It's a movie.
A plane crashing movie?
No.
I could have went with Flight.
No, it's a movie. Okay, what happens in Arrival is like in six different parts of the world, literally a spaceship hovers over. And they have to figure out what the aliens inside are trying to tell them.
Sounds like a dork movie.
It is not a dork movie. It's an incredible movie. It says a lot about life. And maybe you as a parent actually should see it.
Oh, here we go.
Well,
now I'm a bad dad.
Well, no, I'm just saying it would help if you would think about things a little bit differently, maybe.
I don't have time to think about
that. All right. Well, of course. You got to watch
a lot of movies.
Lehigh Valley baseball.
Yeah, dude, baseball.
No, I was grinding. I was grinding some Reading Phils tape late last night and Clearwater Threshers.
215-592-9494. Do you feel better about the Phillies now than you did when the season started? And next question, your favorite movie since the year 2000? Shy and Cherry Hill, you're on WIP. What's up, Shy?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Shy?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
we got you. Are you big trek back to Westchester from South Jersey?
That's enough out of you.
Yeah, it is enough out of
you.
He's mouthy on Fridays.
Yep.
First of all, I'm mouthy because we went 27 innings and scored one run. That's
now I'm saying
ridiculous.
Jack's mouthy.
No,
not
mouthy.
Not
you. You're doing great.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah.
I just want to get my point on the Phillies and stuff.
Yeah.
27 innings, one run. This team is going to fall flat. Even if we make the wild card, it's not going to matter. The window was closed last year. I said it before, and I'll say it again. The pitching's never been the problem. That's my biggest pet peeve with fan bases, with our fan base, is when people want to run their mouth and like, oh, it's the bullpen. It's not the bullpen. It never has been the bullpen. Yes, there's been times where we've been up a few runs and we let it go. But at the end of the day, this team cannot hit with runners in scoring position. They're incapable. They can't do it. And people want to blame Rob Thompson, which I think is utterly ridiculous. You guys made a good point. He's made way more decisions that have done good than bad compared to the last few years. Yeah, he had that whole Kimbrel thing, but whatever, that's over with. But at the end of the day, hitting is going to be your number one priority when it comes to the playoffs. And if you can't hit good pitchers and if you can't beat these good teams, it doesn't matter. The window has been closed.
Shy, I got to tell you, like, I appreciate the frustration after the series. But, like, 2 weeks ago, the Mets seemed to go a week and a half without scoring a run.
Yankees did what, 38
innings? Yeah, the Yankees went an entire series plus another game, and they have one of the three top-scoring offenses in baseball and didn't score a run.
And Aaron
like,
Judge.
It's a problem every year. But it's a problem. It's a problem every year because you watch every Phillies game, and I appreciate it and I respect. But every offense in baseball goes through lulls the way they did. You weren't calling and saying the offense was a problem after the Mets series.
The Mets are bad. The Mets aren't good.
The Mets are in first place, and they have the best pitch. The lowest ERA in baseball. They have the lowest ERA in baseball.
Again, Shy, are you an Eagles elitist? Did we already sniff one out early?
No, every other team sucks besides the football team.
Sniffed it out early.
Don't start that agenda. I'm not Elliot. Yes. Don't start that with me.
You sound like an Eagles elitist.
Yeah. Let me guess. BJ Edgecombe sucks.
Nobody on the Phillies won the Super Bowl this year. You're right.
Yep. BJ Edgecombe can't shoot. Yep.
Yeah.
You brought up the Eagles. I didn't bring them up.
The window's closed. It's the third best record in the National League. Take a deep breath.
Don't let them bully you, Shy. Don't let them bully you, Shy.
The offense is frustrating. I get it, but you sound so giddy to say the window's closed.
First of all, I'm not giddy. Giddy, I'd be jumping up and down and laughing.
Wow.
The Sixers losing. I can't stand them.
There you go.
You're a Flyers guy?
No.
I'm turning into one. If you guys are at the Puck It Up draft party, I'll see you there.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I'll be there. Wait a minute. What can't you send? No, I'm invited now. And by the way, I don't need an invite. There's not even a ticket. Broach can't keep me out. Wait a minute. It says on the board, Sixers. Did you not like what they did this week?
No. So it took me some time to think. I went back and I watched some VJ Edgecombe highlights. I like the guy. I think he's got a great character. But I wanted to trade back and take Knipple or just take Knipple at number three. I think he's that good. I really do. But I have no problem with Edgecombe, honestly. But I think you got to give him some time. At the end of the day, though, if Embiid doesn't play more than 45 games a year, that nothing's really going to change.
Well, no, it won't matter. It won't matter this year. But I do like the fact that they have 5 young guys on the roster that I care about. Like, I care about Maxey, I care about McCabe, I care about Edgecombe, I care about Justin Edwards, I care about Odembona. And I'm not saying that is the core of a championship team. But what I am saying is like, if Embiid doesn't play, it gives us something to watch and players to care about. And we may be, you're right. We may be in a situation where we're transitioning into whatever the next thing is, but we won't know that until after this year. Do you have a favorite movie since 2000, Shai?
I'm going to say, when was Seven made? Was that an 8 in 2000?
Seven was the 90s.
Is that a 90s movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then Will Smith's Seven Pounds movie.
This movie made the top 100. I'm going to say Jackass.
Jackass.
Wow.
I did see Jackass.
Man, though. Jackass had a moment.
Dude, I think Jackass. I seen Jackass 1 and 2.
Yeah? No, Jackass had
not
a run
at the
there.
Movies, though, when it came on television.
And, you know, those guys ran your little town of Westchester for a little while.
Bam.
They pushed me down. Yeah. I'm not the most famous Stetson Middle School alum.
Not back then. Back then, Westchester was Jackass land.
It was. Yep. It was.
215-592-9494. Do you feel better about the Phillies today than you did at the start of the season? Travis in California. Travis, you're on WIP.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Travis?
What's up, Travis?
I feel the same as I felt before the season started, and it's not good. The most frustrating part of all this to me is, in my opinion, and it seemed like, or I guess just in my opinion, they needed to do more in the offseason, but they didn't, and now we're almost at the deadline. And it's glaring that they need a bat or two. They need a bullpen arm or two. And there's no way you're finding enough to fix that or to get that back unless this team trades, like, almost every single one of their top prospects.
Nah.
If Dave just did his damn job in the offseason and did more than signing Max Kepler, who's mediocre, and Jordan Romano and Joe Ross, who are both mediocre, then maybe they wouldn't have so many holes that they need to fill right now. And maybe people wouldn't feel as bad if they needed to just get one arm or one bat. Whatever the case may be, they were supposedly outraged by how last year ended. Apparently, Middleton was pissed off, and then the only thing they do is sign Max Kepler. Like, was that really the move that was just supposed to put us over the top and ease everybody and make everyone think that it's going to fix all the problems?
They did trade for Jesus Luzardo, which also has helped them this year.
Well, yeah. So he traded for Jesus. The starting rotation last year was not something that we needed to fix at all. Adding Luzardo was obviously a good thing, but it wasn't a need. Now it turns out it actually worked out because Nola got hurt. But, like, the biggest need has always been the offense. It's been that way since 2022, and they signed Trey Turner, which was great. But even after signing him, like, they needed something. And I understand, like, he traded for Luzardo, and that's great, but, like, they've been a bat short for years, and they've had back-end bullpen problems for years, aside from, like, last year during the regular season, they were pretty dang good. But, like, they just need to be willing to take risks for once this deadline. Like, they need to trade. I don't know what they need to do. They need to trade a core player or trade. Just do something. Like, trade Suarez if you're not going to re-sign him. Freaking trade Bohm. I don't know. Do something. Like,
well, they tried.
You mentioned that they're.
Well, they, yeah, they tried
no,
to trade,
but like the thing is, like,
well,
oh,
Travis, can I paint a devil's advocate for you on this one? If I'm, first of all, the salary thing, whether you choose to be okay with it or not, the salary thing was certainly an issue in the offseason. If I'm Dave Dombrowski, what would you think of this? If I said to myself, I'm willing to invest in this team, but I want to make sure that they're worth investing in. And if I'm Dave Dombrowski, I say to myself, if they prove to me in the first half of this year that they're good enough, then I'll go and add something that will put them in a position for them to win. Like, I think the worst thing they could have done is in the offseason, let's say they trade Bohm for a reliever and they sign Alex Bregman. And then, all of a sudden, this team is .500 right now, and you've just invested $100 million on a 32-year-old third baseman. Like, I can see the – I was frustrated, too, in the offseason, but I can see the and by the way, this only matters if Dombrowski goes and makes a significant move or two at the deadline. But I think you could make the argument that given their salary constraints, given the fact that they have guys coming off the books after this year, given how last year ended, that they want to see that this team is worth investing in. And, by the way, I think they've proven that in the first half, given their flaws, that they're worth investing in. Now, if Dombrowski doesn't do anything at the deadline, I think we can crush him for it. But I can understand coming into this season and saying, hey, let's make sure we're not just making things more difficult for us in the future with a team that isn't good enough anymore.
I totally get what you're saying. But, like, where I'm coming from, I guess, like, it's like they had last deadline to also do things. Like, they won the freaking division last year. He could have done something to improve the team last deadline.
I agree.
He hasn't done anything in any deadline. He's had so many chances, and it's like Rodolfo Castro, Kyle Gibson, Carlos Estevez. Like, I guess he was fine, but it's just like, dude, like, I feel like he's, like, from us sitting at home watching the games, it's just like, they need a bat. They need a bat. They need a bat. And, like, he's the one in charge. He's the so-called Hall of Fame GM. Like, it's been years since he's improved offense. Like, he hasn't done anything to improve the offense. Like, I just don't understand.
I agree.
Why
I agree.
It's so freaking hard for him. And, like, the one guy that they have that actually has power, like, we don't even know if they're gonna freaking re-sign him. I'm like,
I feel like they're kind of
using him as, like, the scapegoat type thing. Like, oh, if this doesn't work out, then we're gonna move. Like, maybe we'll move on from Schwarber. The fans are saying we need to change things up. Like, we don't mean to move on from Schwarber. Like, Schwarber's the least of the problem. He's the one guy on the team that has pop. But I feel like for whatever reason, if they don't do anything at the deadline, if they do something at the deadline, whatever, and they get bounced in the wild card or bounced in the division.
Well,
round,
it's not whatever, Travis. It's not whatever. If they do something significant in the deadline and they fail, then it's not whatever. I don't agree. If they add a significant bat at the deadline and they don't do it, then it's on them. It's not on Dombrowski. Travis, give us your favorite movie since 2000.
I'm going to pick one that's from 2000, I'm going to say Remember the Titans.
Ah, that's right. A good
one. There you go.
Remember the Titans is a good one.
Do you know where that was on the list?
That's two Denzel
movies. I'll bring up the list next time.
What the overall top 10 was that they had.
Yeah, right.
I will give that to you next, all right?
I'm just wondering.
Coming up next, we will talk about something very important happening on Sunday.
Very important.
DeCamera versus Fritz, the finally, round one.
Finally.
Oh, finally. Oh, my
son. They said it wouldn't happen.
My Sunday's planned. Yeah, they were almost right. We'll talk about that next. 215-592-9494. Do you feel better about the Phillies now than when you did as the season started? We are at the halfway point of the Phillies season. And next question today, give us your favorite movie since the year 2000. We're at Chickies and Peace in South Philly. Big parties always better at Chickies and Pete's, as you can hear. Book your party online at chickiesandpete's.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.